I am going to talk today a little bit about meaning, or more particularly, the search for meaning. I think even as children, we had in our minds that there's something that we need to do, we need to be. And as we grow older, we often think about what it is that we're here for. Why are we living? And we certainly see in times when we're troubled, when we are tested, that we have a tendency sometimes to wonder if it's fair and why should this happen to me and is it my fault? All of these various questions. And we're all in search of meaning. And when we do that, we need to understand that the search is really for something that's immutable, something that's unchanging. We humans, we experience changes in emotion, changes in circumstances. As we age, our physical abilities aren't what they used to be. Sometimes our mental abilities also fade. Our appearances change. We know and we feel keenly that we are not permanent. We certainly know that perhaps the one certainty in our life is that our existence is uncertain. The changes in ourselves, our physical being, our lives, lead us to search for something that doesn't change, something that we can be sure will endure forever. We desire that immutability, that certainty. And this is a common desire. And it's something that is central to Christian faith, because it is that in this Christian faith that we can find the answer that we're looking for. Today's world is very fast-paced. By our culture, are bombarded by various invitations to do this, to be here, to buy that, to shun this. And we, like any other person, have the tendency to follow. And sometimes that leads us in the wrong direction and to the wrong result. And we always think about it's tougher today than it's ever been. And I really don't know if that's true. I think that those people who lived 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, they had their own trials within their culture, their society, their individual lives. They likewise had trials. They had times that tested their faith, and they asked the question, what is the meaning of this life? What am I here for? People want to know that their lives are significant, that they can act, and when they act with purpose and assurance. We rebel against the idea that our existence is meaningless. Every once in a while, we'll see in our culture a group to spring up that will basically say, it's all random. There's really nothing to it. Just enjoy it, and it'll be over quickly anyway. And as Christians, I believe we don't follow that. We reject that. But since we know that our life, that humanity is changeable and constantly changing, meaning is impossible unless we can find something in this universe and in our lives that is unchanging, to which we can link, to which we can join. People have searched and thought they found that link in wealth or love or success, education, fame. But all of those have failed in the end, because you can't take it with you, as they always say. And it will one day, perhaps not as we want it to, it will all end. Christians know that God is the only immutable being. And we know more than that, because if it was just that God was immutable, that God is out there, He's perfect, He's divine, He's righteous, but He's distant, He's far away, He's something that we really don't have any contact with, then it would not be the same as it is. As Christians, we know that God is also personal. He's just and He's loving. And we know that we can seek the answers, find the answers to these questions about meaning, about our life, about our circumstance, through communion with God. In Christianity, we believe in God, and that belief gives us purpose, direction, and significance. A couple words about the nature of God. God is eternal. God has been here from the beginning and will always be. The Bible tells us repeatedly that He's eternal. God existed before the world was formed, and God lives in eternity. There is no beginning, there is no end for God. God is immutable. That means God doesn't change. His immutable nature is a key factor to His nature. It would be most difficult to place your faith in a God that you don't know will be the same tomorrow as He is today. Psalmist in Psalm 102 wrote, "You laid earth's foundations a long time ago and handcrafted the very heavens. You will still be around when they are long gone, threadbare and discarded like an old suit of clothes. You will throw them away like a worn-out coat, but year after year, you are as good as new." Now, there's a contrast here, a contrast meaning that we as individuals, our institutions, our societies, our buildings, our accomplishments, all that we perhaps justly have pride in are temporary. They are eventually to be taken down. As Jesus said when they were observing the temple, He said that it will not be one stone upon another. So even the magnificence of the temple, the center of the worship in Jerusalem, eventually came to basically a pile of rubble. God is self-existent. And by that we mean He's not caused. He is the first cause. And there is nothing that He is dependent upon to sustain His existence. The self-existence of God is the very first precept that's taught in the Bible. Genesis 1:1 declares, "In the beginning, God." No matter how far you go back to the beginning, God is already there. God is transcendent. He's not confined by our limits. We're human. We are confined by gravity, by whatever form of transportation. We're confined by many things. Not so with God. God is distinct from His creation and the universe. Not only is God, the person of God, unlike humans, His moral character is also unique. He is infinitely exalted above all that He has ever created. God's omnipotent. How powerful is God? He's all-powerful. Nothing is beyond His control. Jesus stated that with God all things are possible. God is omnipresent. As the psalm, a portion of the psalm that was read, God is everywhere. There's no place in the universe that you can go in which God is not present. I was talking with Bubba earlier before the service started, and we were talking about what a comfort it is that we know that God is with us. And in our own limited human terms, we would like, if we had a situation, I'd like my brother to be there. I'd like my father to be there. I'd like some physical person to be there. And that's very helpful. That's very meaningful. But in those situations where they can't be there, you may rest assured that God is there. We humans, being limited, we talk about and sometimes try to pigeonhole God. They will, like the temple in Jerusalem, where the Spirit of God resided. And I think God was pretty clear about that. You know, what can you build in which I can reside? We can build any kind of a structure, any kind of a massive and ornate temple, but God doesn't live there because God is everywhere. God is omniscient. That means He knows all. In the letter to the Romans, Paul describes God's omniscience. "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and how His ways are beyond our scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor?" Who has been God's counselor? Can you imagine the idea, the concept of someone counseling God? Certainly none of us. We all like to think that we have a certain level of wisdom. I always like in my practice, particularly in juries, people talk about common sense. Well, I don't know what common sense means. I sometimes, if the state is really hammering on common sense, I will get up and I'll say that, what is that old saying, that there is nothing so uncommon as common sense, and usually take a little of the sting out of it. But to me, that's very meaningful. Who is God's counsel? In the psalm that was read earlier, God knew us whenever He formed us. He knew us before He formed us. He will know us infinitely better than we will know ourselves. God is holy. When we speak about the holiness of God, we're referring to His absolute perfection and His righteous nature. He is 100% perfect in every way. This is vitally important to us, because we have to, again, in this search for meaning, in the search for purpose, to answer our questions, to answer those things that have occurred to us that we don't understand. We have to understand God's holiness, God's perfection, God's omnipresence, God's power, just the very nature of God. We know that God is the only immutable being, but we know more than that. We know He's personal, that He loves us, that He cares for us. No matter how we are, God loves us. The most extensive biblical exploration of the changing nature of man and contrasting that with divine permanence is found in Ecclesiastes. I don't know how many of you read Ecclesiastes. Just pick it up. Just anywhere you want to land in Ecclesiastes. But King Solomon, the author of Ecclesiastes, came to the conclusion that all is vanity and that there is nothing new under the sun. If you walk out of here today and you say, well, he was up there and he talked, and I really didn't, you know, understand, and maybe I put some of you asleep. Remember those two things. All is vanity and there's nothing new under the sun. We'll be here for just a short time, and then we'll be gone. There will be there others who will come behind us, and hopefully what we have done in our life will be a blessing, will provide the basis for someone else to prosper, someone else to form a family, to love others, to love each other, to care for each other, and to be closer to God. But in the midst of all your troubles, in the midst of all of the seeming unfairness of this existence, and when your efforts fail and you say, I tried so hard, I really wanted this, I'm entitled to this. That's a lovely word, entitled. We ought to strike it from our dictionary. But whenever you think you've been treated unfairly, whenever you think that things just don't make any sense, remember that there is an anchor in this storm, and that's God. And God will be the same tomorrow as He is today, as He was yesterday. God is immutable. God is there for us. And I would hope that in your times of trouble, that you will take the time to turn it over to God. If I could end with a little prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You are there for us, that You have accepted us, that You have created us, that You watch over us, that You care for us. Lord, we hope that You will forgive us, that we don't always care for You as we should. We don't always care for each other as we should. But Lord, we do know that even when we fail, that You do not fail. And when we come up short, that we know You do not, and that You are always there. Lead us, guide us, and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.